Welcome to the Whole Hog Podcast.
My main concern is I just want to do the best damn job I can for the University of Arkansas.
I got a question for you, though, Scotty. Do you know that there's other players on our team besides Desi?
Whoever we had on the plane is all we need. Turn that damn jukebox on.
Now, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
Welcome into the Whole Hog Reaction Show. Seth Campbell joined by and alongside Scotty Bordenline. And, well, the Hogs finally did it. It's been since 2016, Scotty, since the Arkansas Razorbacks won a game, an SEC game at home. But they did it, broke the streak, and really just played lights out, especially on the defensive side. What are your initial thoughts, Scotty, from that big win by Arkansas?
Just an otherworldly defensive performance. Like, I've not seen a defense like actually go out and win a game like that, like be so dominant. And, you know, Arkansas won by 12, and Arkansas's defense itself scored 12 points. Like, that's, that's pretty remarkable in itself. And I mean, the stories on the defensive side of the ball are pretty incredible. Hudson Clark, walk on with three picks. I mean, he's like a, feel like he's a household name now, you know, with Arkansas fans. And, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago, people were like looking up his bio on Arkansas's website and there was nothing there. And now his bio features a you know, it's Fayetteville's a no fly zone. Like, it's crazy. And then Grant Morgan, without bumper pool, goes out and has a career day with a bionic arm and, you know, ends up winning the Crip Hall Award for best performance on by senior on homecoming. He's a remarkable story, former walk-on too. Gritty dude, tough as they come. And I mean, there's just great stories all across the board defensively and on offense. Traylon Burks was the story. Like, at eight, like less than 100%, he goes out and has a career day. Like, it's just, he's incredible. I could go on and on and on, but this Arkansas team is pretty remarkable through 4 weeks.
There's a lot to talk about on defense, so we'll get to that. We'll hit on the few things on offense first, Scotty. You mentioned Traylon Burks. If he's 80% and has a career day, SEC offenses should be scared.
Yeah.
If/when he gets healthy.
Yeah, I mean, defensive coordinators, like Texas A&M's defensive coordinators, probably not looking forward to game planning for him, because he's probably going to be as close to 100% as he can be, you know, after the bye week. Gonna go get rested up this week and then get ready for Texas A&M. But he's something else, man. You think he's maybe reached. Like, against Georgia, he goes out and has his first 100-yard performance. And you're like, man, that's really good. Like, big-time performance against maybe the best defense in the country. And then at less than 100%, he just goes out and he one-ups that, which is remarkable. Like, I wrote on Twitter during the game that Traylon Burks is a monster to begin with, but he is something else with the ball in his hands after the catch, making plays happen for himself, like almost led the team in rushing too. And the few plays before he came down with that Sports Center top 10 catch with the one-handed catch, he had, I think, two catches for, I can't remember how many yards, it was close to 30 yards. And then he had a couple of runs. I mean, he accounted for more than half of the yards Arkansas needed on that drive to essentially seal the game. I mean, I don't know what else to say about him. He's incredible.
You wrote a story about him. So if you want more about Traylon Burks, go to wholehogsports.com and find Scotty's story about him. Because, yeah, you're exactly right. There isn't a more dynamic weapon that Arkansas has had since Darren McFadden. That's a bold statement.
It's something to think about for sure. I think Traylon's the first Arkansas player to have 10 catches, 10 plus catches for 100-plus yards in an SEC game since Kobe Hamilton. Kobe Hamilton was really good. Like, we sometimes forget that Kobe Hamilton had a 300-yard receiving game.
Like, yeah, he was because it was against Rutgers and they lost.
Yeah, yeah, that was incredible. But Kobe Hamilton was really good, man. Like, track athlete at receiver. And he wasn't just your – I mean, that he was a big, tall dude, too. Like, just crazy, crazy speed, crazy athleticism. And, you know, Jarius Wright, Joe Adams weren't bad. But Treylon Burks, man, he's in a class of his own, I think. And he's just hasn't even reached his potential yet at all.
And that might be one of the things to look at is because who he's playing with. So he might get more opportunities than maybe Jarius Wright and Joe Adams and Kobe Hamilton. Like, and when I think of those guys, you know, Adams, I think, is the most dynamic out of the three between Wright, Adams, and Hamilton, simply because, you know, you think of Adams and you think of great punt returns as well. But I just think how the offense is utilizing Burks is the most an offense has utilized a player since Darren McFadden. And like I said, that might be because, you know, if Joe Adams was on this team, you know, maybe Joe Adams is getting all of these looks and being run out of the backfield. But that wasn't the offense that Joe Adams played in. And that wasn't the personnel that was built up around him. So he got thrown the ball a lot. But, you know, in this hurry up, no huddle scheme with Kendall Briles and the misdirection and the RPOs, the run pass options, you know, Treylon Burks is the player that you want out there. And I think he is being utilized in the correct way. And the scariest thing out of all of this is Sam Pittman in his post-game press conference said they need to get the ball to him more.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. Especially like after an 11-catch, 4-carry performance, like he got targeted 12 times. Like he's more often than not, he's going to be the most often, like the most routinely targeted receiver just because I think Felipe Franks said it really well. Like Treylon Burks does such a great job of being quarterback friendly, where he just knows how to get open. Just he has a knack to get open. And then once the ball is in his hands, like he can just go and make almost impossible plays happen. It's crazy. And we've seen Arkansas get really creative with how they try to get him the ball. Like we've seen some sets where Treylon's lined up in the backfield to the left of Felipe Franks and Rakeem Boyd is on his right. Franks takes the snap, hands to Treylon, and then he's got an option running right to pitch it to Rakeem Boyd. Like you've seen stuff like that. You've seen the swing passes. You've seen him come in motion across the field and then double back around Franks and Boyd and run back into the flat for a swing pass. You've seen him on deep balls. Like they're almost exhausting every way to get him the ball. And I don't have any doubt that they're going to use this bye week to maybe get a little bit more creative, see if they can find some ways to get more creative, get him the ball and, you know, maybe surprise Texas A&M and some of the really good teams down the stretch, you know, getting trailing the ball.
Creativity, we like. Trick plays and fancy stuff, maybe not so much as we've seen. Maybe haven't worked out the best for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Well, Felipe Franks had a good game. But before we move on to him, Scotty, just real quick, I wanted to touch on a guy that's at the receiving core that has really just been a non-factor. That's been Trey Knox for these first few games. It's been kind of interesting to just see him go from a guy that was pretty heavily targeted last year to a guy that's just disappearing. He didn't start. Devion Warren started in the place of him in this last game against Ole Miss. And, you know, yes, he may not have the elite speed that Burks has or Warren has, but he was always a big-bodied receiver that you thought you could throw, you know, maybe down on the goal line. Maybe he could help Arkansas in their two-point conversion sets, which they have not converted one all year long. But he's just really been a non-factor.
Yeah, it's been kind of weird. And I think it was Thursday before the Ole Miss game. I was trying to come up with something to ask Sam Pittman because you talk to him so much throughout the week, you almost run out of things to ask. And so I thought about Trey Knox because he had a pretty frustrating day at Auburn. Should have caught the two-point conversion that hit him right in the hands. He dropped it as dropped the ball as he was trying to make sure he got a couple feet down. And then probably should have had another catch along the sideline. And after that ball hit the ground, he just kind of stormed off toward the sideline and into the sea of players on the team, and didn't really see much out of him again. But Sam Pittman said that, you know, Trey had a good week this past week, said he didn't have any doubt he was going to have a good game. Well, he's just kind of a non-factor, really a non-factor again. I don't know what's going on. Maybe that's something we get a little bit more on this week. And maybe he's one of those guys that could use the rest. You know, he's had a hip injury that's bothered him since, gosh, what, week two last year of his freshman year. So he could probably use all the rest and treatment time that he can get. I think they need him in a way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you see guys like Tyson Morris making plays. Davion Warren didn't have the biggest game on Saturday, but he came up with a big 8-yard reception for a first down when Arkansas really needed one. So there are other guys that are they're making most of their opportunities. While not really sure what's going on with Trey, but if he could get back and, you know, kind of join a group that's been pretty productive. I think Traylon's obviously the leader. Mike Woods has been super reliable. Davion Warren's had his moments. So has Tyson Morris to a lesser degree, but had a really nice catch for a first down against Ole Miss. But yeah, a guy like Trey Knox, like if Trey Knox could get on the same page as everybody else, that receiver's room can be dangerous.
Yeah, they have the talent there. You know, they don't have just a ton of depth, but you do believe that they have the talent there to be really to be a really, I don't want to use the word talent again, but to be a really dynamic group.
Right.
And they just, like, Trey Knox just hasn't been a factor. All right, moving on to Felipe Franks. I'm really interested to see your story when it comes out, Scotty, about charting Felipe Franks's passes, because I thought that while his game against Auburn may have been one of the best games that he's played in his college career, I thought that he had a few mistakes against Ole Miss, and, you know, just a few times that whether or not he was holding the ball too long, the interception that he threw, and then, you know, we almost started the game off with an interception that was overturned.
Right.
And also getting the fumble. It was not the best day for Felipe Franks, but even then he had a pretty decent day in the Razorbacks' 33-21 win. Yeah.
Yeah, his average days are still so much more aesthetically pleasing than than good days from quarterbacks than we're accustomed to seeing. He did not have a great day, obviously, against Ole Miss, which I think on the podcast during the week, I was like, yeah, man, he's probably gonna throw for 350 yards, like Ole Miss's defense, whatever. He'll have a big day against them. He didn't have like the big day that we expected, but that last drive, that last scoring drive that Arkansas went on, he was so good. Like, he knew to get the ball to Traylon Burks. He found Davion Warren for, I think, a first down, and he just, that the touchdown pass that he threw to Traylon Burks, like, he put that ball in a spot that only Superman could go get.
Right.
And then Traylon went and got it, which is Sunday, a catch worthy of Sundays. And I agree with you, like, I think he held onto the ball a little bit too long at times, and that was the problem on the fumble on the Ole Miss sideline. I think he's almost patient to a fault sometimes. Like, he's got so much trust in his receivers, I think, to try to break open when a play kind of falls apart. And he's just got to learn to throw the ball away, man. Like, just live to see another down, throw the ball away, and just start over again. Like, don't put the ball in jeopardy. And he did throw his first interceptable pass on top of the interception that he threw. I think that was his first interceptable pass since Georgia. So there's some things to clean up there. I'm going to be interested to chart his passes too, because, you know, I thought he took a real step forward at Auburn. Like, he was probably as precise and efficient as he's been in a long time. But still a pretty good game. Obviously some things to learn from, but, you know, I think he'll be ready to go again for Texas A&M. They'll have a good plan there.
Yeah, I think that they will have a good plan there. It's topic on the Whole Hog Sports board that I saw, Scotty. Do you think then maybe that injury is playing a factor in the back of his mind and he's not as willing a runner as he may have been when he was at Florida?
I don't know, because sometimes, like in the RPO game, like sometimes I'm a little bit surprised that he didn't hand the ball off and he kept it for himself and he's picking up, you know, I don't know. I think maybe that hesitation with the injury is coming after he pulls the ball and then he maybe sees a defender and he's not maybe picking up the yardage that he would have pre-injury. And so maybe that injury's playing some games with his mind a little bit, you know, after he pulls the ball down and starts running. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and watch the game again to really see. You know, I sound like a coach, like I got to go watch the film first before I can give you some good analysis, but that's kind of what I saw. I was a little bit surprised to see him, you know, pull the ball from the running back as much as he did, or, you know, maybe in some instances I would have guessed that he would have handed the ball off to Treylon Smith or Rakeem Boyd, but he kept it for himself and didn't really pick up much. And so maybe I can kind of see where that talk's coming from.
Yeah, you mentioned, I kind of agree with you with how often he decided to run it. The broadcasters during the game, whenever you go back and watch it, Scotty, you'll hear it, but they were talking about, I mean, you know, Ole Miss will take that. Every single time Felipe wants to run, you know, that's almost a win for the Ole Miss defense. And in a way it is, because Felipe wasn't breaking big runs. But you do have to keep the defense honest. And that RPO game is what is keeping the Ole Miss defense honest. There's some more topics to talk about.
And I'll say there were a couple plays that I remember now after I finished talking a minute ago, like when Felipe, I thought, could have picked up a first down with his feet, but he came up like a couple of yards short where he stopped running and tried to, I don't know, make an extra play with his feet. I mean, there was one where he's running on the Arkansas sideline and it looked like he had enough room to pick up the first down. And he just kind of turned and stiff-armed an Ole Miss defender. That was that play. And then there was another play, I think early in the game, where he could have run for a first down on the Ole Miss sideline that were a little bit puzzling. But I'll have to go back and watch film again.
Coach Bordelon coming out with the coach speak here on the Whole Hog Reaction podcast. But there's some more, like I said, there's some more stuff to touch on with, you know, Rakeem Boyd, Treylon Smith in the backfield. You haven't really seen a big breakout game, but we'll touch on that on wholehogsports.com and then also on our preview show. This is the bye week, so I don't know that we'll necessarily have a podcast this week, but also be prepared wherever you're listening right now. Subscribe, and we will have a show to get you ready for sure for the Texas A&M game here on the Whole Hog Podcast Network. All right, Scotty, flipping over to the side that made things happen. If you count interceptions, if you count fumbles, and if you count turnovers on downs, Arkansas forced nine turnovers yesterday, 6 interceptions, 1 fumble, and 2 turnovers on downs. And I know it's a fumble because it went backwards, which that is kind of shocking to Razorback fans that when the ball goes backwards, that's considered a fumble. That's a new concept that just started this week. But that ball on the goal line, on Arkansas's first goal line stand where it is end up being a fumble, Arkansas, that ball never hit the ground. So while it is a fumble, like it almost was an interception, yeah, and Matt Corral could have thrown 7. Kind of wild. But yeah, great performance all the way around by the Ole Miss defense. And I mean, I don't know if there's enough words to describe how well they shut out just a team on Ole Miss that was rolling.
Yeah, I don't know if Arkansas's defense last year like turned opponents over 9 times the whole season. Like,
I mean, they only had, what, 6 interceptions?
6 interceptions. Yeah, Arkansas matched its interception total from last year in one game on Saturday, which is crazy. And I don't know what else to say. Like, the guys just really believe in themselves, and they believe in Barry Odom. They believe in Ryan Rhodes and Sam Carter. I mean, those guys are just – I mean, just they're just mainlining confidence into these guys, and they're going out and playing just so unbelievably well. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I'm after the last pick from Hudson Clark, like I just tweeted, I'm literally speechless. Never seen anything like this. Like I said earlier, like never seen a defense go out and just win a game like Arkansas did, especially an Arkansas defense. I've never seen that from an Arkansas defense, just going and taking a game from an offense that was just like that explosive, that high powered coming in. It's crazy. And the goal line stands, I think the first goal line stand kind of set the tone. Like Arkansas was like, y'all are not going to get anything easy today. And the middle of that line, like, starts with Jonathan Marshall. Like, that is the most powerful man that has come through this Arkansas program in a long, long time. And it kind of starts with him creating havoc, you know, in the middle of opponents' offensive lines. Like, that's where the problems start. And then you throw in Julius Coates and, you know, Isaiah Nichols, Zach Williams, Mateo Sully. Mateo Sully's out there playing with a club on his hand again. And again, producing, and you know, just helping this defense be so solid. And you just can't say enough about Grant Morgan either. And Jalen Catalan's so good. Like, that's, if Arkansas fans should cut Chad Morris a little bit of slack for 2 seconds for signing Jalen Catalan. That was his parting gift. So he's like, yeah, you can hate me, but don't hate me that much, because Jalen Catalan is the real deal.
Morris, we're going to do this. We're just going to do this. So there is no avoiding this. We're just going to go down this rabbit hole for a second. Morris was able to put some talent in the cupboard. Like, let's be honest. If there was one thing that Chad Morris was pretty good at, it was recruiting. Obviously, from what we have seen in the first 4 games at Auburn and his 2 years at Arkansas, coaching may not have been his forte. But as a recruiter, Chad Morris did a really decent job of bringing in talent. See, and that's just where it just is mind-boggling to me, because he did bring in a guy like Jalen Catalan, who is a thumper.
Yeah,
in the secondary.
At the time of the first big hit, too, over the middle.
I don't want to come over the middle if Jalen Catalan is back there. And when was the last time Arkansas had somebody like that in the back of their secondary?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
They have a thumper back there. But if this shows you the problems, I guess, with Chad Morris and his coaching staff, Catalan didn't play last year. Like, I didn't see anybody on Arkansas's defense. You know, Cam Curl was a corner and he got drafted, but there was nobody on Arkansas's defense that was going to take a position from Jalen Catalan if he was playing the way that he's playing right now. There's no reason for him that he wouldn't be on the field. So that's where the whole, Morris actually came in and put some talent in Arkansas's cupboard. He just didn't, like, take it out of the cupboard and cook it, in a way, with our food analogy here. He just kept it in the cupboard and stared at it.
With Jalen Catalan, I wonder if Chad Morris and his staff from the last 2 years was still here, if he would be this good, or would it be his red shirt junior season, his senior season, before he like really starts to emerge as a player?
I think
Catalan really coming on, like, it's a credit to Sam Carter. Mm-hmm. Or, well, I guess it's Sam Carter works more with corners than safeties. Like, Barry Odom runs the defense and works with safeties, but I think it's a feather in the hat for Barry Odom's, not only his defensive schemes, like getting guys in the right place at the right time, but his player development. Like, you even have spring practice.
Right. But
whatever you taught these guys, you know, he said, I remember early in the spring, Barry Odom said that this COVID situation and having to teach over Zoom has made him a better teacher. Whatever he taught those guys, whatever he taught Jalen Catalan has stuck. And he has become already, you know, one of the better defensive backs in the SEC, I think. And he's going to be a stud. You better enjoy watching him, like with Treylon Burks. I think Jalen Catalan's not too far behind on the defensive side. Like, he's a baller, playmaker, not going to be here too much longer. So you better soak it in.
Not, an, as I said, not enough words to describe Arkansas's defensive performance, but I think you put it plainly, Scotty, is that I've never seen a defense win a game as single-handedly as Arkansas did. And I've never especially seen it be done in an Arkansas uniform. You know, growing up watching the Razorbacks, it was not the defense that was winning games. It was definitely the offense. And it was based around the offense. And so to see the defense perform the way that they are right now, nothing short of spectacular.
I mean, people are upset that Arkansas's got a bye week next week because they can't watch this defense play. When's the when was the last time that happened? When Mark Charles Spate was here? Like, when was that, 2014? Like, it's almost – I mean, yeah, you're pushing five or more years that people are, you know, actually upset that Arkansas's not playing next week.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know, Arkansas's defense did pitch those two shutouts in the 2014 season. Mm-hmm. But just the way that these games have been played with the expectations, I think is why this is just so much more astounding. And as I mentioned, like those two shutouts against LSU and Ole Miss, the Ole Miss game was 30-0. And I believe LSU was 17-0, all points scored by the offense in the LSU game. I know Arkansas had a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown in the Ole Miss game. But, yeah, it's been kind of crazy to see this Arkansas team. And then I think the funniest thing out of all of this is just through the Brett Bielema and Chad Morris years, Arkansas football was pretty good for one to two years under Bielema. But throughout all of this, they really had Ole Miss's number. Chad Morris here for 2 years. Yeah, they didn't win either one of those games. But even those two games were close. And then Ole Miss coming in with Lane Kiffin against a rebuilding Arkansas team. Like, I don't know. If I was Ole Miss, I'd get kind of tired of losing to Arkansas because they it seems like Arkansas has been able to find a way to beat them for the past several years. And that, as I said, the last 2 years with Chad Morris notwithstanding. All right, Scotty, got anything else?
I'm good, man. I'm kind of with the fans a little bit. Like, I wish Arkansas was playing next week just because it's like the defense is just like intoxicating at times. Like, it's addicting watching those guys just go out and play so well. But like, it's a rest week for the team. It's a rest week for us covering football too. But we'll hopefully we'll get to talk to Barry Odom this week, hopefully on the bye, and just kind of be like, dude, just give it to us. Like, just lay it out. How are you doing it? Yeah. And then kind of browse too, but we'll see.
Yeah, fingers crossed for that, hopefully. We have not gotten to talk to the coordinator since the season began. So fingers crossed that happens. Yeah, the defense is like your new girlfriend, just so intoxicating. You just want to be around her all the time.
Yep.
Got all of your attention. Let's hope that it also doesn't end up like a lot of relationships with that new girlfriend either.
Well, things are going smooth right now, buddy.
Hey, things are going great. That's all that matters. Who cares what's going on down the road? Look at what's right in front of you, because what you've been through.
Live in the moment.
What you've been through has been awful. So live in the moment right now, Razorback fans. Well, for Scotty Bordelon and our entire WholeHogSports.com crew, I am Seth Campbell saying thank you so much for joining us here on the Whole Hog Sports reaction show. There's a ton of podcasts that you could be listening to. So we really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to us. If you would do us a favor, wherever you are listening right now, subscribe to us, like this podcast as well, share it with your friends. That's the best way for us to grow and for more Razorback fans to become more informed about the Razorbacks, because this isn't just a football thing. We do this all throughout the year. Well, Scotty, appreciate your time coming on. And for Scotty, I'm Seth Campbell saying so long. We'll see you back here. We won't be back next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks.